Today is Mother's Day, and I want to offer a word of honor to all of our mothers, to those who have been mother figures to us, and to all who have loved us for who we are. And I also want us to be mindful to recognize, name, and remember mothers who have lost children, those among us who have lost their mothers, those among us with strained family relationships, those who've chosen not to be mothers, and those yearning to be mothers. All of these situations are important. All of these situations are holy, and we will honor all of them today. Happy Mother's Day. My mom and my grandmother were always instrumental in being able to turn a situation around and make them hopeful. One time I was with my grandmother and we were going to an event. My grandfather had dropped us off and he was on his way out of town to go to our family land about 20 miles away. Well, my grandmother and I walked into this event and realized we had the time wrong. We ran outside but realized that my grandfather had already left. There was no way to reach him. What were we going to do? As an 8-year-old, I got scared. My grandmother got a big smile on her face and said, "Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's walk home." Granted, walking home was about 7 miles away, and it was really hot. I said, "Really?" And she responded, "When I was younger, I didn't have a car, so I would often walk home after work. This isn't any further than that. Come on, this is going to be fun." And off we went. My mom can do practically the same thing, no matter what the situation, especially, I'd say, even in situations that are even more extreme. Once, my brother got in a bicycle accident and severed one of his fingers. He was in terrible pain, and while my parents were getting in the car to take him to the ER, my brother asked, "Mom, have you ever seen something like this before?" To which she replied, "Oh, sure. You'll be back in action in no time." A few years later, she told us that she had to go excuse herself and go throw up. But nevertheless, she could reframe the situation for my brother and make the situation seem perfectly normal and much more helpful. Fortunately, everything with my brother ended up just fine. Things like this might play out in your family, or they might not. But this type of positive attitude, this practice of keeping a hopeful mindset, is a quality that people have had for generations, literally thousands of years. One of my favorite examples of this is in the line that is said at the end of every Jewish feast of Passover. When the story is told and the meal is done and God's liberation of the people has been celebrated, everyone shouts together, "Next year, Jerusalem! Next year, Jerusalem!" The idea behind this is that the people who celebrate Passover not only remember what God has done for them, but they celebrate the possibility that God will reunite with all people from all places next year in a new and profound way in the holy city, Jerusalem. Next year, Jerusalem. Rabbi David Hartman explains this quite well. He says, "The celebration of Passover is the night for reckless dreams, for visions about what a human being can be, what a society can be, what people can be, what history may become." Another rabbi, Jack Moline, who was my professor at Virginia Seminary, said, "Are we really going to Jerusalem next year? Probably not. But we say it because we always live in that hope. The hope that God's accomplishments for humankind will be completed and that we will be reconciled to God and one another. We live in hope. That's why we say it." And that's exactly the hope that we see in today's gospel. John's gospel is beginning the long and arduous passion narrative of Jesus. In some ways, the new Passover, the next exodus of humankind being bound to the enslavement of the world and being freed at once to being at one or reconciled with God for all time through the cross, through Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus uses this language of going on a journey to bring this reality into existence. But they don't understand. Thomas is blatant. Lord, we do not know where you are going. Philip takes on another tone. Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus tries his best to answer their questions. But the promise contained in the reading is that not only are we invited to dwell with God in the many dwelling places of God's house, but that God's very presence wants to live beside us, right here, right now, through Jesus. We get to live with God. God gets to live with us, right here, right now. In this promise, in this mutuality of relationship that's established, God will always be fully present for us and will not be far away. In fact, as people who read this passage now, 2,000 years after it was written, we could go so far to say that these promises of mutuality of relationship, that these promises of mutuality of relationship are here, are active, are our reality right here and right now. Nothing that happens to us right now is removed from the life of God. No joy, no sorrow, no pain, no triumph, no trial, no liberation, no success or failure. None of these are removed from the life of God. God is present, and God continues to seek new ways to prepare a place for us in the realm of life, in all that we are and in all that we do. We belong to God. The message Jesus gives us today is powerful because we need this type of hope in our lives right now. We need to live into this reality that no matter where we end up on the road of life during this coronavirus pandemic, this time of isolation, this time of separation and loss, no matter where we are or no matter where we end up, that God will always meet us right there, right where we are. We will never truly be lost. We will always be found by God. So today we're invited to be hopeful, to look to the future, and take a forward-looking, hopeful view on everything. Will things be the same as they were a month ago? Probably not. Will they continue to be like they are right now? I'm thinking, no, they won't. Will they be better? Will they be worse? I certainly don't know that, and I'm doubtful that anyone does. But we know time and time again that God will always be faithful to us. God will be fully present and meet us along our road of life. So like our moms or our grandmothers, we can choose to live with a can-do attitude of hope. Like our friends and neighbors who celebrate Passover, we can choose to live into a spirit of hope. And like the apostles of Jesus, who wanted every question answered in the manner in which they wanted answered, we can listen to Jesus's invitation into a new reality of hope, and we can claim that hope. We can claim that hope, that reality. We can immerse ourselves into God's very presence of hope itself because of Jesus. As we keep on living this life, facing our ups and downs, our twists and turns, and knowing full well that no matter what happens to us in life, that God will meet us, that God will meet us wherever we are, we can absolutely, definitely, we can resolve to live into this great hope. This is a time for reckless dreams, for visions about what a human being can be, what a society can be, what people can be, what history may become. God is never far away. We get to dwell with God. And because of Jesus, God chooses to dwell with us. Yes, we do get to live in hope. Happy Mother's Day to all. And remember, next year, Jerusalem.